that's wonderful. Even before I start, praise God. Well, I'm really here to introduce my friends, Cyril and Gabrielle. Before I do so, I also want to say it's a great, we've really felt the links, the strength of being joined with you. Ray Mackey, a couple of years ago, came out twice to China. He ended up by marrying one of our interpreters, a Chinese lady, and they're living now up in Donegal. So strange things can happen when you come to China. Anyway, and then recently this year, the team of these wonderful ladies came out, and I still get emails from some of the folks whose lives they touched and ministered to. So isn't it wonderful we can throw the stone into the pond and the ripples, they're still having effect. I just want to read one scripture and then I will introduce you to Cyril and Gabrielle. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, one of the few times it says he cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said," and he's quoting from Isaiah, "out of his heart, out of his innermost beings, will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit. Part of what I do is I visit places on the earth which are less well off than here, the third world, the fourth world, and in my measure I seek to serve and minister in the church, in the body there. And over about 14 years of doing this, I've made a discovery. I found out that the deepest desire in people is not to have food, is not to have medicine, is not to be released from extreme poverty. Can I say there's over 1.2 billion people on the earth in extreme poverty? There's three grades of poverty. Extreme poverty is where you to live on the earth for $1 a day. 1.2 billion people. Today, between the time we woke this morning and go to bed at night, 30,000 children will die of preventable diseases. These are amazing things. They could propel you into trying to be a humanist, which I was once. But I have found out that these things are important. And Jesus encouraged us to go with a cup of water, with bread, with money, with a building, with a vehicle, whatever we find ourselves doing. I have found that the deepest desire in men's hearts and women's, in men and women's hearts, is to know and receive this living water. That may seem obvious to us, but when you see this extreme poverty in places and a million babies being abandoned in China a year, you begin to wonder. But when you see this in action, and even as has been ministered to our hearts this morning, there is a river this morning. And we don't really want to come and talk all about China and our work. We just want to say, well, the river's flowing out there. The river's flowing here. The river's flowing. It's the Spirit of God. It's what he came to do. It's why he died. It's why he rose. Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, he confirmed that because Jesus was glorified, he was able to receive from the Father and send forth the Spirit. So there's a river here today. I first met Cyril and Gabrielle in 1991. And to be with them is sometimes to be like in the slipstream of a whirlwind. I warn you. Even though they're very human and very, in one sense, they're ordinary, and yet they're extraordinary people. And at that stage, the work in China, we were based in Hong Kong in Lama Island. It was quite small. And in those 14, 15 years, God came and he honored vision and word and things that were spoken 20, 25 years back. And now we stand amazed to see buildings being presented to us by Communist Party officials. Shanxi province and four or five other provinces the size of Western Europe, 300 million people, officials coming and saying, "You have the technique in childcare." And we have to explain to them it isn't a technique, it's the river. You try explaining that to an atheistic Communist Party member who happens to be the head of the secret police in the area, it's not easy. But the river flows. And it's been a great privilege and joy to be involved with them in this work. And I know that when we first met, he said, Cyril would say things, and a year later you realize, well, he isn't so crazy after all, that they come to pass. And he said, I really feel there'll be links in Ireland in the years to come for the work in China. I believe here amongst you is part of that link. So, I don't know which of you will speak first. Cyril, on behalf of CORE, you're really welcome.
Well, it's lovely to actually get to CORE at last. You know, we feel we know CORE very well. I often sat down with Ray Mackey in remote Hanjung, and he would reminisce about CORE. And I've occasionally seen it on videos, wedding videos, people getting married here who show you these extraordinary long videos of their weddings. And I feel I know it well. And it was such a pleasure, such a privilege to have the ladies come out a few months ago. And what a wonderful blessing all of you were who came out. A great blessing. And it is amazing, really thinking about this river of life, you know, the river of life that flows, how really such a small country as Ireland, it is a small country with a small population, can have such an increasingly major impact upon such a vast nation as China. Gabra and I in China live in the ancient city of Xi'an, and the ladies who came out, you came to our home, and you know, Xi'an is an ancient city. It goes back over 2,000 years and was the capital of China over six dynasties. And I suppose the population of Greater Xi'an, as you go out, is probably as much, if not greater, than the population of the whole of Ireland. And yet, you know, from Ireland here, a small nation, from men and women who love the Lord, have come streams of life that have impacted China. And in fact, so much of the building that Larry mentioned, we've been involved in a lot of building in China, in these areas and buildings that the communists have given us, works of renovation. So much of the finance for those buildings has come here from Ireland. It is a remarkable fact that when a man or woman steps out in faith, trusting wholly in the word of the Lord, allows the Holy Spirit to move them forward, then God can do increasingly, abundantly, immeasurably more than we can ask or think. So let's believe for great things. We are all very, very ordinary people, but God can do extraordinary things through us. Amen. I'd like to read a passage that I felt the Lord really laid on my heart for this morning. A passage that's really spoken to us over the years. It's Isaiah. We had a passage read from Isaiah earlier. This is Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. Reading from the New King James Version. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, when you see the naked that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Then your light shall break forth like the morning, or some versions say like the dawning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought, and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Praise God. I'll just read that section there. And that really is a very, very challenging passage. You remember, those of you who are Bible scholars will know that Isaiah, the prophet, was speaking into ancient Israel centuries before the birth of Christ. He was speaking into a nation that had a tremendous amount of religious activity. After all, children of Israel were the chosen of God, and they had the temple of God, they had the promises of God, the priesthood established by God. They had everything going for them spiritually and in religious terms. And yet, Isaiah said, you are sadly, sadly lacking. You're really failing to do what is the real spiritual work of God, which is to practice righteousness, justice, to open your hearts with compassion, to care for the poor and the underprivileged. And I feel that challenge comes to the church today. We praise God we're living in a day when there are movings of the Holy Spirit. And the fact that this church is here today is evidence of the fact that God is moving in our time. The Holy Spirit has been and is being poured out on many. Praise God for that. But I believe with that comes a challenge. It's not just about singing wonderful songs and worshiping God in this beautiful setting. It's not just about having a kind of an exclusive, very kind of inward spiritual life, and that is great. There must be that aspect, of course, because everything will flow from that, but there is an outworking. And really, the real measure and test of our relationship with God and our faith and our spiritual life is what is the outworking of it all? And sadly, Israel failed when it came to the real issues of justice, righteousness, holy living, compassion, care for the poor, etc., etc. They failed. And of course, the fact was they did not heed the word of God to them through Isaiah and the other prophets. And eventually they lost their kingdom and they were carried off into captivity into Babylon. And I believe God would challenge our hearts today, challenge us individually and challenge the church. We are living in very, very troubled times indeed. Coming back from China, as Gabriel and I did just a few months ago, each time we come back, we hadn't been back to Europe for a year, we see once again so much appalling evidence of declining moral standards in our society. Increasing crime, increasing violence, things get less safe, and of course, even in these last few weeks, horrendous bomb attacks, society is being shaken in many parts of the world. And as the men and women of God, either we turn away from all that is happening out there and just try to find a little sort of oasis of peace here, and sort of retreat into ourselves and sort of distance ourselves from what's happening in the world, or we realize that the only answer to the problems of the world, to the violence out there, to declining moral standards, to all the outrages that are going on and to deprivation, the only answer is to be found in Jesus Christ and through the Church of Jesus Christ. And I trust that it's your prayer and my prayer that as Isaiah says, you know, verse 8, that, you know, light should break forth through the church. Yes, society is getting darker. The world is becoming an increasingly darker place. And the efforts of politicians and statesmen really become increasingly futile. But praise God, God is raising up an army. There is an answer to all the problems in the world, and it's through you and through me. And God's desire is that streams of healing, streams of righteousness should flow through us. The glory of the Lord should be manifested through us, His church. And there's a challenge there, isn't there, for all of us. First of all, it starts in our individual lives. What is the outworking of the cross in our lives? And my prayer is that as we send men and women into China from around the world and We hope more people will go out from Ireland. We have a few on the field at the moment. We pray that there will be more, that they will be beacons of righteousness, beacons of holiness. China, as you probably all know, is still very much a communist country, one of the last remaining communist countries in the world today. And of course, it's the world's most populous nation. It means that 1.3 billion people in the world today are ruled by communism. Actually, we're not sort of asking God for an overnight collapse of the Communist Party in China. We're aware in China that underneath the surface there are tremendous currents of anarchy, unrest, and that if communism were to collapse overnight in China, there would be absolute chaos in China. We're praying for a transformed Communist Party, for leaders of China who themselves are desperate about the problems they are facing, that they will come to the light. And we praise God that over the years we've had wonderful opportunities to talk with Communist Party officials. And we believe in God as we go back and get into more dialogue, because, praise God, the work is continuing to expand and to grow. Gabriel will be sharing in a minute some of the wonderful things that are taking place. We pray that as our influence and the influence of other Christians grow, that Communist Party officials will really search their hearts and say, where is the answer to the needs of our society? But, you know, we look at these vast countries and problems and we can feel overwhelmed, but really it starts with us right here and now in our situation. I recall that when Gabriel and I first went to Hong Kong, it was in the year 1972. Obviously much younger, and we took our four young children there. We were not involved in Christian work then. In fact, we were both very, very mixed up people, very mixed up people. And God is slowly unraveling us, you know, praise God. Anyway, we went out there in 72. I was involved in very professional work, and we went to Hong Kong. And we were given, at that time, Hong Kong was one of the last remaining British colonies. And the government of Hong Kong gave us a wonderfully spacious apartment overlooking the best beach in Hong Kong, Repulse Bay. We had a very nice, luxurious apartment. We lived very well. We had a very good professional, I suppose you'd say, middle-class style of life. And yet, deep within, there was a great need. There were great needs in our marriage, great needs in our personal lives. And I went to church every week. And yet, I knew I was nowhere with God. And I praise God that, you know, this was the time of the charismatic outpouring. I came to the position where I realized that if I was to have any power as a Christian, I don't mean power to go out and do great things for God, but power to live a decent moral life and to lead a decent Christian life, I needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that my own efforts were futile. I would succumb to pressure, I would succumb to peer pressure, and I had really no Christian witness at all, although I went to church every week. And really, that's the essence of the baptism of the Spirit, isn't it? That's why Jesus said to his disciples, wait in Jerusalem until power comes upon you, and then you should be my witnesses, you know, out there in the world. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we are ineffective and weak. And I came to that position where I thought, I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I felt, in some ways, I was very reluctant about it. I thought, I'm going to lose control of my faculties, or life is going to become incredibly narrow. But I praise God, when we came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, life expanded and the joy comes in. And those of you who have been baptized in the Holy Spirit know that the Holy Spirit comes to give life and joy. And I praise God, Gabriel and I both came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit at about the same time. We had a transformed marriage. We had a lot of things to talk through and to confess to one another, a lot of things to repent of. And we vowed then we'd always move in absolute honesty and transparency ever since. And we have, under the Lord's grace. And That was wonderful. And very quickly, God started to move us out into a work with drug addicts. This was through our friendship with Jackie Pullinger, who many of you will know of or have heard her speak. And Jackie Pullinger was a very good friend. And because I was being trained to speak Cantonese in my job, Jackie invited us to go and work with her with drug addicts on one of the poor housing estates of Hong Kong. And I, for the first time, I felt what it was to leave my comfort zone of a very nice, spacious apartment in a very kind of expatriate, middle-class zone in Hong Kong, going out to places I'd only ever read about, and to meet Chinese drug addicts and triad gangsters. And it was during the time that the Lord really spoke to us about this passage. When you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, when you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh, then your light shall break forth like the dawning. And it was about that time that Jackie Pullinger telephoned us, I remember, and said, look, the work is expanding. Some of these triad gangsters, you know, they really need a place to come off drugs completely. I think your apartment would be ideal. How about it? Oh, no. I said, I'll ring you back. I need to talk to my wife. We talked about it. And, you know that quickening from the Lord. This is it. Are you real about following me? Are you real about believing in the Word of God? And so we started taking in drug addicts. It was not well received by my colleagues. It was not well received by my neighbors. It was not well received by the people in government in Hong Kong. And the point I want to make is really there is a cost in following the Lord. There is a cost in taking the Word of God seriously. We've heard earlier our brother sharing about, really wanting to move in life, to get out of dryness. I think some of us are possibly in dryness because we've never taken the Word of God seriously and never had the courage or boldness to step out and do what the Lord says. And I praise God for all that the Lord is doing in China now, and Gabriel will share about that now. But really, these things start from small beginnings. And God, I believe, is wanting to speak to some of us. You know, it's time to actually take the Word of God seriously. Not just read about it, not just sing about it, but start applying it to our lives and moving out on it. Well, Gabriel, here we are.
It's great to be here this morning with you. As Cyril says, we've known about CORE and seen all the pictures and everything else for years, but it's absolutely great to be here. One of the most wonderful things about being a Christian is that you have a family wherever you go. We're part of the great family of God, and we have wonderful brothers and sisters wherever we go. And I think that is a very precious thing. We're particularly aware of how precious that is in China, where we cannot meet like this in China. We can only meet in small groups, and we have to be very careful. But there's something wonderful about worshiping God and singing praises in the great congregation. Now, this might not seem a great congregation to you, but to us, it really is. And we're really thankful that we can be here with you this morning. As we were praying before the service this morning, the Lord really spoke to my heart about a particular passage of Scripture, and I just want to read that. And I think it's indicative of the Spirit of God that He keeps bringing the same theme from different people again and again and again. And that's because the Spirit of God is trying to say something to our hearts. And I just want to read a very short bit from Revelation 22 about the river of life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And I want to ask you this morning, are you in that river of life that is as clear as crystal? Because that is what God wants for us. He wants us to be people who are prepared to trust Him completely, who are prepared to abandon ourselves totally to God and get into that river of life and allow God to take us wherever he wants to take us. And I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, this morning, that God will take you to extraordinary places that you never in a million years ever expected to go to. But you will know such satisfaction, such fulfillment, such excitement, because you're on the greatest adventure that there could possibly be. And that is an adventure of going where the Spirit of God takes you. And eventually we will go home and be with God himself. That's where the river will eventually take us. But in the meantime, he has things for us to do. As Cyril was saying, it's not just having this nice, lovely, intimate relationship with God, but being utterly egocentric, utterly selfish, and keeping it to ourselves. God brought us into a relationship with him that we might go out and share that with the men and women and boys and girls of this world who are lost and who desperately need his mercy, his love, his compassion. Because without us, God does not have that hand that can touch the one that needs that touch of love. He doesn't have the arms that can go around that one that needs loving or needs feeding. We are his hands, his feet, his heart on this world. We are the body of Jesus. And he wants us to take that extremely seriously. It's no way that we can do that unless we are walking in a really intimate relationship with Jesus. Yes, we come to that place where we make that commitment and we believe. But Christianity is so much more than that. It's a relationship, a deep, passionate relationship with God himself. And I actually, with my Bible study, I'm going through the Bible in a year. And I've done this for several years. I find it very, very meaningful. And so often God speaks to me from just that passage that I'm in. And a few weeks ago, I was reading through Kings, and it really struck me. I was reading about Josiah. And in 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 25, it says, "Never before nor after Josiah was there a king like him, who turned to the Lord as he did, with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength, in accordance with the laws of Moses." And if you know about Josiah, he did amazing things in Israel at that time, breaking down the false images, destroying things that had been put into the temple of God. He was a revolutionary king. And I believe that we serve a revolutionary God who wants us to be people who are prepared to let him take our lives, to revolutionize them, and to go out and be lovers of men and women. Jesus came to this earth because God so loved the world. And he doesn't want us just to be those who believe in his word. He wants us to be those who take his word so seriously that we go out and we love the unlovely, that we cherish those who've never been cherished. I have to say, I never in a million years expected to be in China. You know, I was a wife at home with four children, very nice, you know, middle-class housewife. It was great. I tell you, it's the most dangerous profession to have, because God will do things to you and say things to you. And back in 1975, as we were praying and singing love songs to Jesus, and I hope you sing love songs to Jesus at home as well as in church. You know, it's great to do it with everybody else, but it's even more wonderful to do it at home with your husband, your wife, your even your children. And we were singing love songs to Jesus when God did something I'd never had happen to me before. He picked me up in the spirit and took me into China. China was a closed country in those days. It was the years of the Cultural Revolution when 20 million people died. But with the Spirit of God, there are no boundaries. And he took me into this land of China. He showed me a particular city, gave me very detailed view of the different things of the city, and said, "One day you'll come and work here." Gulp. He gave me four Chinese words with that experience. Afterwards, Cyril said, "I know what's happened to you, but you've been here, but you haven't been here." So we talked about it, we shared, we prayed, And we said, God, if you want this to happen, you will have to open the door. There is absolutely nothing that we can do to open the door. Amazingly, within 3 years of that, we did our first trip into China in 1978 as it began to open up. And it was quite extraordinary to me because we went to that city. It was exactly as God had shown me in that vision. And we began to really believe God was going to open the door. 3 years later in 1981, he said, now is the time. You've got to leave home now. You've got to go now. Not like 6 months' time when you've got yourself all prepared and spiritually, you know, you think you can make it now. So we left England with three of our four children, three teenagers. You know, that's the time when everybody says you come back off the mission field for their education. No, he said, go now. So we left England with twins of 16 and a 14-year-old with six suitcases and £100 in our pocket, no church behind us because we've been at theological college, and we believed God. Now, I want to say this to you. If you believe God, when he speaks to you, it's absolutely vital that you believe him with every fiber of your being, body, soul, and spirit. Be like Josiah, because then God can work. It's not that we work, it's that God works. And so we arrived in Hong Kong and set up a home. And it became very clear within a year he wanted us to visit China. And so the work began to open up. In those days, China was moving into the modern world. It wanted English teachers. That was the door that opened up. When we left England, we had no idea what we would be doing. But we knew that God said, go. And when God says go, you dare not do anything else but go. If you want a fulfilled, satisfied life and a relationship with God that will continue to grow in intimacy and depth. I wish I could say those early days were easy. They weren't. When we arrived on the island of Lama where Larry met us, first of all, we stayed in somewhere that some people had an empty place. It hadn't been lived in for quite a while. It was summer, the mosquitoes were rife. We got our few belongings up the hill to this place, 365 steps up the hill, with our two daughters and our son. The first night we slept, five of us, on four mattresses on the floor. And the next morning our youngest daughter counted her 83 mosquito bites on her legs. At that point we had nothing to cook on, It was a confusing time in some ways. And in that moment, you can either say, God, what have you brought us to? Or you can open up your heart and praise God. And that's what we did. As a family, we stood there and we began to praise God. And the Spirit of God came down. I tell you, we have never been so happy and so aware that God was going to move. And from that point on, we started to send teachers into China. And teachers have a wonderful opportunity to share their lives. They live on campus. They can share their lives with people. We're not allowed, because it's a communist country, to actually preach the gospel as such. You know, you can't go out and give tracts. You can't stand in the classroom with your Bible and preach any more than you can here in Ireland. But if your lives show that you are different from other people, people begin to ask you, why are you so happy? How come you've got so much patience? How come you don't get annoyed with the communist officials when they tell you that in 10 minutes' time you've got to do something that when you've made other plans? And so it became an incredibly fruitful way of sharing the gospel of God. And many, many students began giving their lives to Jesus and being nurtured in Bible study groups and various ways like this. Over the years, thousands of young men and women have given their lives to Jesus Christ through the work of the teachers, and that work still goes on. These days, we don't want any of the overseas Western teachers to baptize any Chinese people. Of course, at the beginning, we had to. In fact, Cyril and I had the privilege of baptizing the first two who came through for the Lord. They're now a couple. They were boyfriend and girlfriend in those days. They are now helping to lead a Chinese church in California. But it is very important to to link them into the Chinese church. And so all of the baptisms are done by leaders in the Chinese church, in the underground church. And we thought that that was probably going to be the extent of this work. In fact, I think in both our hearts, we had a conception that small is beautiful. I don't know what you're like, but, you know, it's nice to have a nice small work where you know everybody. Everybody is family. It's great. That wasn't God's idea. Back in 1977, I used to spend a lot of time, my calling was as an intercessor, I used to spend many nights in prayer, and one night when I had been praying, God had shown me that we would have a work with children. We didn't understand that, we didn't know how it would happen, but we really believed that one day God would open the door. And in 1990, we began to find the orphanages in China. I don't know what you guys here know about those, but I find most people in Europe know more about what it was like in Romania than in China. The orphanages in China were worse than Romania. And it broke my heart as we went on. We actually began to say to teachers, if you feel right before God in going into the orphanages and doing things for these children, feel free to do it. But do not feel under any obligation. You've come here to work as a teacher, to do personal evangelism, students. But if you feel led of God, then do go in. And so many of the teachers did start to visit the orphanages. Conditions were horrendous. I won't even begin to tell you what they were like. You wouldn't be able to cope with it. But in 1992, God gave us a prophetic word, and he said he really wanted to open the doors wide for this work. But it was a work that the enemy hated, and he would do everything he could to frustrate those doors staying open. And he said, you must build up an army of intercessors and people who will pray to keep those doors open, because I want to do a great work through this. But if you don't have the people praying, the enemy will push those doors. He can't shut them, because never can the word of God be contradicted. But he will push them until they're only ajar. And instead of a great flood of my love and my compassion and my mercy going out across this land, you'll only have a trickle of water and you won't be able to do much. And my name will be mocked. When God says that, that is very, very serious. And so we knew that it was a battle with the students' work, with the teachers' work, but this was going to be a much greater battle trying to save the lives of children. Remember when Moses came to be the deliverer in Egypt, the children were being slaughtered. When Jesus came to be the savior, the children were slaughtered. And we really felt God was calling us to bring, a ministry of deliverance to the children of China. Remember, the Old Testament ends with those very crucial verses about turning the hearts of the children to the parents and the hearts of the children to the parents, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. That's a deep warning from God. And so we really began to get people to pray that God would open the doors. And as Cyril said, it's been incredible. The Chinese government are the people who've asked us to go in. We now have 3 children's homes. The one that the Irish government helped us with to renovate was a 55-room building that had been put up by UNICEF and left absolutely desolate. It had never been used for children. It was just empty except for a lot of rats and a lot of administrative documents. But we really felt, when we were offered that building, we had no workers to go and work in it. We had no money, but we knew that God had said to us, take this place. And as I say, when God says do something, you do it. It was very interesting, because when we'd opened our first baby unit, which we call Hephzibah, which means my delight is in her, and of course so many baby girls have been abandoned in China, this seemed a very appropriate name. It was given by the Lord. I had been very thrilled that that had started, but it was not what God had spoken to me back in 1997 about. And so when we took on the 55-room building, the first time I went there, I wept. I don't know why I wept, but I wept, and I felt this is what God spoke to me about. Because what you see, what had happened in 77, as I've been praying, was he had shown me a building that was like a Chinese temple or monastery. And I'd been standing outside that building, ringing an old bell, and children had come running from all directions. And when I saw this building, it looked nothing like that, but I knew it was the place that God had spoken about. I knew it was a place of God's appointing and anointing, and that he was going to do great things there. It wasn't until several years later, when we were well established in this building in Hanjung, that I was walking with Cyril one day, and it's in a village called Haukosur. And I said, so what exactly does Haukosur mean? Because that's a really strange. And so he said, well, he said, actually it means concaved mouth monastery. So I said, right. So we actually decided we would do some research. And we discovered that our concrete building was built on the site of a monastery that had been knocked down in 1931. And so the picture that God had given me was absolutely true. This was a cleansed monastery, if you like, a place where that had been dealt with. And so we opened what we call Shekinah Shalom, the glory and the peace of God, the radiant glory and the peace of God. Because I believe God's glory and his peace is shown through the work of life and compassion that is poured out to children. Each one of these children that we take in would be dead if we had not taken them in. And there is something incredible about saving life. But as John read out that quote from Liz Middleton, many of our children are special needs. And in Chinese society, that particularly years ago was completely and utterly unacceptable. Many children were locked away, hidden away, or killed because they were special needs. The climate is changing slowly, very, very slowly. But there is nothing more wonderful than sitting with a little girl or boy who's been abandoned, rejected by their parents for whatever reasons, and seeing them worshipping Jesus Christ and saying their prayers with them in the evening. The children that we take into our homes really know the love of Jesus. They aren't afraid because they expect to be loved. And it's wonderful to see a child lose that terrible insecurity. Many of them are babies when they come in. Some of them are a bit older. They come in, they don't show any emotions, they don't smile, they don't cry, they don't do anything like that, because they are so, if you like, rejected and so abused. But to see a child flower and to begin to laugh, even to begin to cry, is a wonder that I can't explain to you. And it's been wonderful to see many, many of our children really have a relationship with Jesus. Great things are happening in the children's work these days. In Hanjung, where Shekinah Shalom is, I had always believed that we would have not just a baby unit, but a children's home, something that would not be institutional, but I didn't know how that was going to happen. But it's been quite remarkable as we have prayed and sought God how he has gone before us. Save the Children came into that area a few years ago because we were working there, because they knew that there was good management, there wasn't corruption operating in the welfare center because we were there. And so they built a group family home, something we've been praying to be able to do for years but never had the finance to do. And we called it Blue Palace because they... On the outside, it was covered with pale blue ceramic tiles, and it was so different from anything else. So the children who went into there were called the Blue Palace children. But we kept praying and saying, God, you've got to do more than this, because there are still children in the main orphanage who are suffering terribly. In the last 2 years, the main orphanage is gone. We now have, under our authority, all the children in that welfare center. We have just built, together with the welfare center, another series of group homes, and we've moved 42 of our children out of Shekinah Shalom into that building. They've got mamas and papas. you know, they're, one of the things, pray for us, is the fact that we, our children's work is mainly female orientated for obvious reasons, but it's very important that children have men in their lives as well as women. And so it's a delight to have some of our carers who are married. We've trained them and their husbands to be mamas and daddas to these children. So we have now just opened that. We are moving all of our Westerners out of Shekinah, and they are going to live in apartments in town. We're bringing all our Chinese workers to live on the top floor of Shekinah. And we are going to use the building that we renovated originally for them to live in as a kindergarten and school for the children, a training center, and a rehabilitation center. We do a lot of work of rehabilitation and training with these children. And we also have foster children living in town whom we do rehabilitation and activities with them and with their parents. God is changing the lives of these children, particularly the lives of children who won't be adopted outside of China and will stay in China. We want them to be integrated back into society and be seen as people who contribute to society, and therefore, because they are useful, they will be respected. And wonderful things are happening there at Hanjung. However, when God begins to move, the enemy also begins to move. And as I said, we have to walk very carefully because it's a communist country. And so this year, shortly after the team had come back to Ireland, we began to have some of our people, first of all an overseas Chinese worker, and then two main Chinese girls in management, pulled in for interrogation and questioning because of our Christian values and the way that we do the work. It's very, very intimidating for a Chinese girl in her 20s to be interrogated by Chinese officials. But these girls have got so grown in the Lord and in strength, they were magnificent. But we were ordered to stop all Christian activity in Shekinah. We were told, because what we do is every changeover of shift, there's worship, there's prayer. We meet together, the girls meet together on Wednesday night for Bible study. They meet together on Sunday evening. They ordered all of that to stop. And we cried out to God in our hearts. We said, God, what are you going to do? Because you know that this is why we are here. It's not just to save lives, but it's the extension of your kingdom. And so as we all cried out to God, God did an incredible thing. In China, there is what is called the Three Self Patriotic Church, which is a church under government authority. And then there are the house churches, which is the vastly bigger area in China among Christians. And most of our workers come from the house churches. We have been very, very careful about our contacts with the Three Self Church, because often there are government plants in the church who betray brothers and sisters and various other things. But the Three Self Church is an evangelical church in many, many ways. And we had already started to take members from the Three Self Church to work in Hanjung. We decided, as that's what they were telling us to do, they said, you can go to the Three Self Church, that we would do that. And so our people started attending the government church. It was quite miraculous, because God, the same time that we started going there, God brought a new pastor to the church, a pastor who was filled with the Spirit, who preached the word of God with boldness and fervor. They have a Sunday school, which is totally forbidden in China. You're not allowed to preach the gospel to children under 18. You're not allowed to have Sunday school, but they had Sunday school. And so we saw God beginning to use the coming together of some Westerners and Chinese people who loved the Lord, together with the Three Self Church, a flowering. When one of our nurses who had been there for a short term came back to England, she got to the station and found that the pastor from the Three Self Church was there waiting for her. And then some other women from the church came, and there in the railway station, they stood there and sang to the Lord and prayed for her in a Chinese railway station. You don't do that in China. But, you know, God breaks through barriers. He breaks them down. That's what happens when we believe God. And I believe God is going to do something extraordinary through this relationship with what is a government church, pray for them, because sometimes when you have a pastor like this and people who are fervent like this, the government will come and move him out because they're very frightened of that. They're very frightened of Christianity. We have more projects, which I don't have time to go into, but we are setting up a home for our special needs children. They have to move out of the place where we are in Xi'an. And so we're in the process of looking for a special place for them where we can really teach them life skills, develop their potential, have them in group homes, and see them blossom and grow. As Cyril said, that we started our lives when we were baptized in spirit working with drug addicts, and we always believed that sometime in the future, God would open the door to work with drug addicts in China. And the lady who's been on the field longest with us, she's been with us 16 years. She's over 60 years old. She would be considered blind in this country. The team met her, Wendy. For many years has worked with individual drug addicts. But we've now set up a drop-in center for drug addicts in a city even further to the northwest, even poorer. And we are now believing to set up our own rehabilitation center as well. We have drug addicts from hundreds of miles away begging to us to take them in so that they can come off drugs. And I believe that this year and the beginning of next year, we'll see that work expanding and growing. We have a health work as well. And God keeps on stretching us. And he keeps saying to us, are you prepared to have your heart expanded? Are you prepared to have your vision expanded? Because my love is limitless. And I will provide everything that you need to do this work. We never fundraise, but God supplies our needs every month, just. We don't have any surplus, but every month we have enough to feed the children, to pay the wages of all of our Chinese staff, because we believe that we should pay them a wage. And we have about 240 Chinese staff. Everything from managers and accountants and lawyers and legal, you know, everything from that down to the lowest boiler man and carer. Everyone is paid a wage. Everyone is looked after because we care passionately about our workers, even as we care about the drug addicts and the children and those who are sick. Because God wants us to be a demonstration of who he is. And I believe that each one of us, we're all very ordinary, but we can do extraordinary things when we allow the Spirit of God to work in our lives. I now am getting older. I'm 64, and I'm working harder than I've ever worked. And people keep saying, oh, but you should be, you know, you should be just, I don't know what the word is, not closing down, but slowing down. And I keep saying to them, I feel better now than I've ever felt. And as long as God gives me the strength and the joy and the victory in this, I'm going to keep going for God, because I believe that God can use us as we allow him to take us where he wants, as we stay in that river of life. It's not our strength. We are weak, but he is strong. And he promises to increase strength to those who have no strength. And he promises to take us where he wants us to be. He promises to do all things well. And during the 20-odd years that we've been in this work, I can only say that it's like having stood back and seeing God do all things well. Praise his name and give glory to him.